Hey guys, thank you so much for stopping by Legend Church's weekly podcast. Just a quick reminder, you can check us out at legendchurch.com, find us on Facebook and Instagram, and Sunday mornings in Madisonville. But hey, without further ado, set the cruise control, start Matt Marun, or grab a drink, and let's talk about all things Jesus.
Let's see. A couple weeks ago, Jason and I were like, man, we got this great idea for a sermon series about tribalism, going through the 12 tribes of Israel. It's going to be awesome. And we were planning it. And that's what we were going to start today. But Jason did a really awesome sermon last week. It was actually one of my favorites. If you haven't listened, you weren't here, you should definitely go check it out. But he did this sermon. It's something that's been floating in his head for a while, this idea of like memes, and we'll talk about it in a second. And he's like, hey, I'm just going to do this one-off on the sermon. And I thought it was really good, and I went straight back at the end of last week. He's like, dude, we should just do the next series on this. And he's like, yeah, so we're doing that. I know you guys are really excited about the 12 tribe thing. Don't worry, it's coming, guys. Don't worry. You'll get it. You'll get it. I know Stephanie's like super excited about that. I don't know a lot of memes. I'm not a meme sharer. Ashley says I'm like one step away from saying maymays. I did a couple weeks ago share the first time I ever shared a meme on social media. It was this one, which I think is hilarious. You might not think it's funny, but the purpose of a meme is that it takes something that's in that you know really well, that you have a context for, and place it. So for you, most of you, this probably doesn't mean anything, but my other full-time job is I am an art hustler, and I make things based on whatever's going on. And so for me and all my art friends who make a living hustling art, we saw this, we're like, oh my gosh, if I was there, I would just be mad that I didn't think of it first. And then last week, Monty and Jason both made Lord of the Rings references, which only to Monty's chagrin made me go watch all three extended versions this week and 7 episodes of Rings of Power again. Now I got to do The Hobbits next. And so thank you for that, guys. But I was like, man, there are some great Lord of the Rings memes. There's Karen. I forgot about Karen. You guys all know Karen. We'll come back to Karen. These Lord of the Rings memes are my best. I'll let you read and laugh for a second. And if you don't know, you don't know. This, again, if you are into, which, man, I thought there'd be at least a couple Lord of the Rings fans. But this is something, you're in that world. If you dig Tolkien and you dig what he's done, you read this, you're like, oh, where was Gondor when the Westfold fell? So that's the joke there, in case you didn't know. Where was Gondor when the Westfold fell? We know, if you read that story, these memes were for you. It's taking something that's familiar that you know, putting a different context on it, using it again, evoking imagery, evoking thoughts. And going back to Karen, it's just like with this. We all know what this means now. If you say someone's a Karen, and we can see this meme, be like, oh yeah, a Karen. And sorry if your name is Karen. That really does mess you up for a while. We only have one here, and she's not here. But the idea is that memes take something that a large percent of a population knows, alludes to the imagery, and so that when you get to the joke or when you get to the refreshing or new thought behind it, you understand what's happening. And so Jason's thing last week was that his theory is that the Bible is a bunch of memes. That one image that started off with like all the colors, I don't know if you guys saw it. It's this thing that a person did where it's the entire Bible text on the bottom there, and it's showing you how many times something else is alluded to or cross-referenced. All those things, if it's up there. I don't know, I didn't put it in there. But the idea is that when you come to Scripture, it is very hard for us as 21st century people, it is very hard to go into a first century text and know everything that's going on. But what we have to know and what we have to just understand is that, man, those first century writers, who were very poetic and very amazing and very artistic in what they did. And those first century hearers, when they heard certain things, like Jason went through last week, they immediately got the context. Oh, I know what you're talking about. Oh, when you say those words, oh, I know what you're talking about. And we don't know what they're talking about. And so we have to do the work. And it's tough, and it's hard. And so we just thought it would be fun for a couple weeks to go through some major allusions, things that are alluded to that we may skip over or may not always get the context or get the meme of. And so the question for this morning is, does your name mean anything? Does your name have a meaning? Does anyone know what their name means? Like what is? Allison, what does your name mean? Truth. Love it. Let's hear one. Kristen is Christian. I knew that. Ben, what's Ben mean? Does Ben mean son of? Son of the right hand. Ooh, man, that's insane. What does your name mean? Does your name mean anything in that context, but does your name mean something to you, to the rest of the world, to the people around you? Does the meaning of your name mean something? There's a ton to unpack here, and that's what we're going to do. But first, I do need to share a couple more memes. I just realized that I never share them on social media because I don't really do a lot of that. But I guess maybe Sunday mornings is my social media because I'm sharing a whole bunch of memes because they're really funny. These are all memes about names, and I thought there's actually hundreds of these, and I thought that they were I sat there and laughed out loud by myself as I saw them. Get it? And then here's some more, just in case you needed some more, because they're all hilarious. And we get these because we understand, if these were just random people that no one ever knew, it wouldn't be funny. But we know, these scenes from these movies, we know that there's a person there, and we knew their last name, and to make fun of, so I hope I don't want to beat it anymore, but we get the idea of this meme, something that we know, and it's familiar, and alludes on. A couple weeks ago, it was months ago, I was invited to this really odd party. It was a guy sent a text, said, hey, I'm getting together a bunch of people who I think are interesting, and I'd like you to come to. They lived in Amberley Village, and a really big house, and they were like, we're putting together a gathering, can you come? And so that was months ago, and then the party was actually a couple weeks ago, and that week he texted, hey, I never heard back from you. I'm like, surprise, surprise. I never heard back. Are you in or are you out? And so I was like, well, I thought it was dinner. I told my wife, hey, I think we're invited to this dinner party. And so I asked, hey, is it cool if my wife comes? And he's like, well, is she going to be into a triad? And I was like, as soon as he said the word triad, I'm like, she's out. She's out of anything that has anything to do. A triad of improvisational, games of learning. And I'm like, no, she's out. She doesn't want to come to that ever. That's the worst. That's her nightmare. But I was like, she's not coming. So I'll be in a triad. And he's like, well, we got to put names together in these triads. And so I don't know what's going on. Stephanie was like, hey, if they put on masks and start chasing you through the woods, that's probably what's going to happen at the end of this weird party. And so I went, and it was odd. It was cool. But in it, they did this thing with names. And they asked everyone, what does your name mean? If not, Google it real quick and find out what your name means. And they were saying, is this important? Does it matter? The fact that you have been called this, and every day of your life, someone is calling you that. Someone's calling you truth every day. Someone's calling you this. Does it matter? Does that affect you? Is that important to you? And what does it matter? And so at the moment, I was like, Justin means just and fair. I was like, I don't think that matters to me that much. I don't know. I was in my triad, and I was like, I didn't know what to say, so I was making jokes because I was like, I don't know. My triad didn't like me, I don't think. Enough about triads. So what does it mean? And so, I couldn't stop thinking about it. So for the weeks to follow, I've been thinking about it a lot. What does that mean for me? Does it is a good question. Does it mean anything at all? And so justice. Fair. So I was thinking about it more, and I was like, what does my middle name mean? My middle name is a weird one. It's Talmadge. It's my dad's first name. And Talmadge means knapsack. It means a pack that you carry. And so then, because this is how I am, I was like, oh, justice, fairness that you carry on your back. And I started thinking of, I thought of Bible college, where I learned a lot about the way the church should look. And then I went in 2001 and got a first church gig and was quickly surprised, like, why don't the churches look like this? They're really mean to each other, and why do they do these things? And I was remember thinking, I can't be a part of that. It's not fair. It's not just. Recently, I am usually like out on, I don't care about signing my name on something. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, sign, I'll sign whatever. It's my name. Oh, I'm going to get something free. Let's do it. But there was recently this thing that I wanted to be a part of. It was like pastoral counseling thing. And they wanted me to sign this thing. And there was just something in me that was like, I can't sign that. I can't sign the things that you want me to agree to. And I realized, like, oh, man, maybe justice, and surprise, surprise, if you knew me, you're probably like, yeah, probably easily. But I didn't know that maybe this is important to me, fairness. Especially I like the idea that I carry it on my back. It's not, like, in front of me. It's not something I'm, like, dying for. But, man, there's a part of it that there's something really important to me. So I got into names, and I was like, okay, well, what does everyone, man, if you got a rando text from me this week, be like, hey, did you know your name in this? I did a lot of that, because I was just thinking of everyone and going through, like, what's this name? What's this meaning? So we are the parents of son of a gray-haired man. That's Graydon. That's what that means. We are the parents of the woodsman. That's Foster. Foster's a derivative of forester, and it means woodsman. And we are the parents of Bowman, because Archer, surprise, surprise, means Bowman. And so I was like, well, because I was reading, I started reading so much about names. And like, we're one of the only cultures, and our modern culture is one of the only eras where we name kids before they even are born. We know what we want to name them. We like this name. And usually, and in most cultures and in most times, children were named after they were born. They were named because they attributed something to that child. They were named maybe because their ancestors have always been named this. If you're Icelandic, you're a daughter or a pater. Like, that's part of the name follows through. If you're, a lot of times parents are naming their children about a struggle that they went through, something that they had, and they're going to put that there. And I was like, man, we didn't do that thought. But then, because you can do this, because we're crafty, I was like, okay, well, Foster, Forester. I told him that this week. I was like, hey, your name is Woodsman. And he's like, yeah, I like the woods. It's cool. And I was like, yeah. And your middle name is Shepherd, which we named him because that's our favorite thought. That's our family thought about God. We love the idea of God as a shepherd. It's like, oh, so maybe you're this woodsman who's tough and strong and builds, but also peaceful and walks through the woods. And man, you're going to be a shepherd. I was like, yeah, this is Foster. And then Archer is like Bowman. Okay, you know what? I was Archer for a long time in my life. Man, it's precision, it's accuracy, it's practice. And his middle name's Emmanuel, which means God with us. And I'm like, oh man, it's God is with you when you are precise and practicing. I'm like, yeah. And then I had to do some work for Graydon. I was like, okay, son of a gray-haired man. I was like, what is his middle name? Carson, which means nothing to us. It means son of the marshlands. So he's son of the gray-haired man, son of the marshlands. I'm like, I can't work with that. But we named Graydon after a family whose last name was Gray, who helped us a lot when we were young and married. Maybe that's the meaning there. Take this with a grain of salt. This all doesn't really matter because it's just what we do with it. But the question that they asked that I really thought of is, what does that mean? You're called it all the time, and does that do anything? Does that mean something? I encourage you to look up what your name means and see. Even there was the guy who was leading it. His name was Brad. And he's like, that means broad meadow. But he's like, man, I've come to find out that my life is like this broad meadow. Whatever. You can do that. It probably means nothing. Jason's right there going like, that means nothing. That means nothing. Jason is Savior, right? Savior. His middle name, David, is beloved. Beloved Savior. And that's how I think of Jason, too. He's that for me. He is that for me. I'm not even kidding. I love him. but I got really into this long internet rabbit trail of the psychology of names. And so while name meanings could mean something, maybe there's something there, maybe there's not, Your name absolutely means something for you, especially if we look at like an economic value and we look at it in, they've done all this research on the psychology of whether or not you like your name or whether or not you don't like your name. It is astronomical, the percentages of people who really like their name, the success of their life, where they go, what they do. People who end up failing a lot in life, people who end up with a lot of like issues, especially even job-related and finances, and they hate their name. They never liked their name. It mattered because they were called that every day. There is a long one. I listened to like 3 hours of podcast that had nothing to do with the sermon, but it was about if you were in the 1970s with Black Power Movement, they started, they were naming black men and women very white names because it would help them get along in society. But then there was some independence, like, hey, we don't want white names, man. There are some strong African names that we can do, and this name started changing. And there's a whole study on what a traditionally sounding black name does versus what a traditionally sounding white name does. The names, man, if you're Elizabeth, you are as white as possible. Wyatts are white. They were going through, like, but, man, they've done so much research that they could even look at your name and be like, man, we can pinpoint within a 10% accuracy of what your life will look like based just on your name and what people call you. It's crazy. If your name's very unique, let's say your parents named you like Nazareth or Tamsin or something. I'm just kidding, just kidding, just joking. No, but they said unique names, for the most part, create very creative people, very unique people because they like the uniqueness of their name or they hate it. It's one or the other, but they like it and it creates something in them. Like, so your name, what you are called, really matters. And then we get to, surprise, surprise, guys, the Bible. We get to the Bible, and man, biblical names always mean something. They are always attributed to very purposeful, man, this is what this means. We got, you know, Jesus, Jason's derivative of that, whatever. Jesus means Savior. Really on the nose. You have times where the parents are naming children, and you have times like in this case where a messenger comes and says, "Man, you're going to name this child this." Now there were a bunch of other Jesuses; he wasn't the only Jesus. But man, his name, Savior. There's some other crazy ones. Who was the prophet who married the prostitute? Hosea. He had to marry this prostitute because his life was supposed to look like an allegory of Israel and God's relationship. It's kind of crazy. But they had some kids, and God made him name these kids like horrible things. This one's name's like, Israel is the worst. Israel sucks. Like, he's naming these children really bad names. but all the names, every name, means something. It meant something to that person's life, and it shaped sort of how they were. In the name of Jesus, in that, man, when they say unto us, man, the Savior is born, man, it's very on the nose. That name matters. What about the name of God? What about what we call God? Does that matter? A lot of different names. Does it matter what we call God? There's one of my favorite Bible stories is in the Old Testament. And you have Moses, and he goes to this burning bush. It's burning. He doesn't know what's going on. He takes off his feet because he's like, there's some sort of deity, obviously. So there's something supernatural going on with this bush. And they go, and he says, and there's God in the bush, and God says, like, hey, I want you to do some stuff. You can look that up later. I want you to do some stuff. And Moses just goes, he very honestly, because he grew up an Egyptian, man, there are 100 gods. There are gods. There's probably a god of a burning bush somewhere. There is a god of everything. And so Moses goes, well, what God are you? Because up until that point, God had no name. Up until this point, there was the God of the Hebrews, of God, very Elohim, which is very just, man, God in general, man, God. Man, if you want to follow names more, a lot of cultures, Egyptian, Mesopotamian, all of them, a lot of their names sounded like their gods. And so a lot of the earlier Old Testament names have a lot of Elohims and Elos and Hems in it to, man, we're referencing our God. And then after that, you're going to start seeing more of the Yahwehs, the kind of added to names, because it matters. So anyways, Moses is like, well, what God are you? I don't even know what God you are. And are you the God of the crocodiles? Are you God of the Nile? Are you God of Egypt? Are you God of the Pharaoh, the sun, the moon? What are you? Does anyone know his answer? I am. So God says, I am. This is my name. And this is, you are what? Are you the God of the crocodiles? I am. Are you the God of the Nile? I am. Are you the God of the Pharaoh? I am. Are you the God of the sun? I am. Are you God of the moon? I am. Are you God of the weather? I am. A very Jewish way to interpret that is, I am who was and what is becoming. I am. This was the name of God. I am. I am all. I am. And so that's a very powerful source. It's the first name that they are going to attribute to this deity that saved them from the flood, rescued them, goes with them forever. The great I am. So then we get to the Gospel of John. And John is talking about Jesus, telling the story. Jason went through some great allusions that John makes. But he's going to make a very specific number of statements about Jesus here. I just want to read them. These are I am statements. It says, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me will live even if he dies. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. I am. That's the meme here. When the first century reader, they knew exactly. Oh, what are you doing here, John? What are you saying about this Jesus? Oh, he's God. I am. It's huge. It means something. And get this, man, there's seven of them. Seven, huge number in the Bible. Jason was already taking us how John was introducing the garden. And man, that takes us back to the Genesis poem where there's creation, there's garden, there's everything. And man, what was that, 7 days? How many times did they march around Jericho? Seven times? And the 7 years of Jubilee, seven comes up over and over. And seven is very important. There's seven of these phrases. I am, John says, and attributes this to Jesus. Names matter. The name of God matters. The name of Jesus matters. There's an ancient book called the Midrash. It's not. It's 1,000 years. It starts in the second century, so it starts after the Bible, and it's not. It's not like this. It's basically Jewish rabbis who have had teachings on Scripture, all Old Testament Scripture. They've written down stories. They've written down their teachings, and it's a whole other book of memes of people alluding to something that everyone was familiar with. But there's a story that I really like. And it's like at the end of time when we, the good Jewish people, go to stand before Yahweh, he will only ask us one question. And he will say, well, I guess this is two questions, but the story's wrong then. Because he says, what is your name? And did you live up to it? This is sort of big teaching. Later on, someone's going to parabolize it a couple centuries later. And there's a person, and the person goes up before Yahweh and says, this is my name. And Yahweh looks at the person and says, oh, I love the philosophy books you wrote, and I love the poetry you wrote. And the guy says, well, I didn't write any of that. I really wanted to, but I never did. And he's like, oh, because that was your name. This is the potential. And this is a big deal that did you live up to your name? Does it matter? Because it does matter. Our names matter. And then I want to throw one more sort of log on the fire, that as we read through the Scripture and as we read through what John's saying here about Jesus, like, man, this is the, if you want to know more about God, if you want to figure out what God is doing in your world, if you want to figure out how to fix whatever is happening, how to go where it wants you to go, how to be what it wants you to be, man, he's saying this right here. It's just God, Jesus, man. He's the I am. He is the God. So do what he says follow that and you will be good. And if you read through this, I think that Jesus gives us a new name. It has nothing to do with Justin. It's just or fair. I mean, I like that, and I want to try. He gives us this name, Christian. We're given it by, or the people who started being the followers of Christ were given that name, and it's stuck for 2,000 years later. 2,000 years later, we're still called Christian. And I like that question, have you lived up to your name? Man, because we can look around, and man, a lot of people have not. Man, they really, really botched it. But my goal is to live up to that name. Like, have I lived up to the name Christian? What does that mean? Doesn't matter. So my challenge for you this week, man, is try to, man, there's 7 days of the week, and there's seven of these. Maybe one day a week, start your morning off with an I am, one of these I am statements. Read it. Man, what is this telling me about Jesus? What am I learning? What should I do in this day to be this good follower, to live up to the name Christian? I don't do ever, if you talk to me, a lot of like, I like to talk about death, but I don't like to always talk, I don't always talk about like, well, the next, right? The next, in this life and the next, the life to come. But I want to be asked that question. I want to be asked that question daily by God, and I want to be asked that question whenever the next comes. Man, did you live up to that name? And not Justin, but Christian. I'm going to pray, and we're going to go into this time of communion. There's this scene in the last book of the Bible called Revelation, where there's this new city in New Jerusalem, and it's all beautiful, and there's every tongue and tribe and nation and all this stuff going on. And there's the lamb that was slain. This is Jesus. And he has this book. And names are written in this book. And the idea was like, hey, I want my name written in this Lamb's Book of Life is what it was called. And so when we come to the table and we have this bread and we have juice, the idea is we picture, we conjure the broken Jesus on the cross, dead, the I am that was slain, right? And we take it, and we get to be accounted as a bigger community, a bigger family, to say that, man, our name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, and it matters. And so my goal for us is that people look at legend, and they say, oh, yeah, they're living up to the name Christian. So let's try to be that. It's that simple, Dex. I'm going to pray. We're going to keep going. God, thanks for our names. Maybe our meaning of our name comes from something outside of the actual letters. Maybe we never thought about it. Maybe we have it on purpose. Maybe we don't. And whatever those phonetic and English and whatever words are, there's something deeper about who we are as a person, that we do have a name, and you know it, and you call us by that. And Lord, my prayer is that we all feel like children of you whose good, good parent knows our name and calls us that and asks us to be that. And so let us be good children and let us live up to this name Christian, this follower of Christ. Let us figure out what that means daily. Let us learn to do it daily. Forgive us when we are really bad at it. But thank you so much for just the opportunity. Be with us as we just go and take communion. Amen.